SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. We are just 3 days away from the start of the 2023 NFL postseason, played in the calendar year 2024. It is Super Wild Card Weekend, a total of 6 games spread out over 3 days. A doubleheader on Saturday, a tripleheader on Sunday, and a Monday night football finale to end out Super Wild Card Weekend, the opening round of the NFL playoffs. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. We will get you set for everything you need to know for the postseason in the National Football League and the coaching carousel that continues to spin around the NFL as well. Just a few days out from the start of the playoffs, Scott, but also the end of the 2023 NFL regular season.
Yep, and then the big decision so far, no word on the update with Bill Belichick, right? I guess from the coaching standpoint, you know, I think, Ben, you know, the teams that are going to fire their head coaches would have fired them by now, except for Belichick, and that might be, you know, the decision's been made. Maybe they're negotiating on an exit. Maybe they're trying to keep him around. Who knows? But that's from the outside, the football world, as far as the games are concerned, that's the big decision with Belichick.
Yeah, absolutely so. And we will see what happens with Bill Belichick. We'll talk about the timeline, Scott, of any decision that is going to be made up in Foxborough, what it means for New England, what it means individually for Bill Belichick, so on and so forth. But big news around the National Football League, Scott, both today and yesterday afternoon. Let's go back before we look at what happened just in the last 2 hours or so out of the Windy City. First, we go to Nashville, and a rather shocking development. Before we do all of that, let's make sure we bring in that serious XM audience on channel 159. This is Football Full Circle on Sirius XM channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. A shocking development out of Nashville yesterday afternoon, Scott. After 6 seasons together and a 54-45 overall record, the Titans fired Mike Vrabel. Again, Scott, a winning record where he won and had a winning season in each of his first 4 years, but the last 2 years, 7 wins and 6 wins, respectively, under 500. Scott, how surprised were you by the Titans' decision to let go of Mike Vrabel?
Not very much. It's funny. We was doing the show, obviously, with George Kurtz yesterday, and we were talking about the game, or we were talking about, running out some of the possibilities, and we were mentioning Vrabel, and then the moment I start talking about how I wouldn't be surprised if he got fired, George says, you know what, just came over the wire? I'm like, what? He says, Vrabel got fired. So I'm not really surprised. It's just, you know, it's not that he hasn't had success, Ben. It's just, it's been a stale product, right? I mean, the Tennessee Titans, there's no, even with Derrick Henry, they're a boring team, an effective team, but you know, you could win that way, but they just didn't have any spark in these last 2 seasons. I thought they would be much better than what they were. It hasn't happened for 2 years, so I could just see that being okay. The GM came in, didn't hire Vrabel, so you know, maybe there was a little, even though he denied it yesterday, a little discord between the two. So I'm not really that surprised. I wouldn't be shocked if he got another coaching job. But I'm not surprised that they said, you know what, let's part ways.
So I am surprised, right? The last 2 years, obviously, not the level of success that Tennessee was expecting. This year was thought to be a bad year, a win total of 7.5 for the Titans before 2023 started. They went under that with only 6 wins. But the final game of the regular season for Tennessee, pretty emblematic of what Mike Vrabel had done during his time in Nashville. Scott, in the 6 years that Mike Vrabel was the head coach for the Titans, dating back to the start of 2018, 15 of 32 NFL teams, nearly half the league, but under half the league, had a winning record in those 6 seasons combined. Tennessee was one of those 15 teams. In that same 6-year span, 17 of 32 NFL teams were booked as an underdog 50 or more times. Only one of those 17 teams booked as a dog 50 plus times had at least 25 wins outright as an underdog. It was Tennessee, and it wasn't just 25, it was 27. I thought Mike Vrabel wildly thought of of as a successful head coach around the National Football League and one of the bright young coaches in the NFL, did a lot with not all that much in terms of resources there outside of Derrick Henry during his tenure in Nashville. But of course, Scott, at the peak of 2021, winning the AFC South, number one overall seed in the AFC, to get beat by the Bengals in Nashville as you hosted a game in the divisional round, to have a strong start to 2022 to only drop the final six games of the year to finish at 7-10, for 2023 to play out the way it did, maybe some changes needed to be made in Nashville. With that being said, I don't think it detracts from Mike Vrabel and the successful head coach that I believe he is and is going to be. And I think, Scott, he has skyrocketed to the top of the charts, maybe outside of Bill Belichick, when that ultimate decision in Foxborough is reached as the hottest coaching commodity now in this cycle.
Yeah, a couple things, right? One, 35 straight games, well, really 36 now, 36 straight games without scoring 30 points for the Tennessee Titans under Vrabel. You know, in 2023, even though scoring was down, the general thought is you got to win with offense. So it just, like I said, it was kind of stuck in mud there. That's why I'm not surprised. It makes a whole lot of sense, right? If you're going to replace Belichick, you want to keep it that same kind of New England man type of thing, the Patriot way, and what better guy to bring in Mike Vrabel? And the thing that surprised me more than anything, Ben, that they kind of got tossed to the side a little bit, maybe, I don't know, but the owner saying that she considered trading Vrabel, but it would take too long. That was kind of like, wow.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? And what if you could get a draft choice, we'll say, for him, who cares how long it takes? You could pull him aside and say, listen, we're moving on, but we're negotiating with a couple of different teams to trade you, so it may take a little while. I mean, it doesn't have to take that long if you're willing to accept what other teams are offering. So why would you not trade him, even if it's as low as a seventh round pick? Who cares? It's a draft choice versus, you know, waiving the guy and having to pay his salary even. I mean, that was kind of bizarre yesterday.
That was bizarre because, Scott, we know that Black Monday is a day around the NFL following the end of the regular season where we see a ton of coaching staff changes up and down the National Football League. And there was some reports then with some of the openings that then became vacant that Mike Vrabel was maybe in the mix. For instance, there was a report from Diana Russini of The Athletic that if the opening we expect to happen for New England does, that Mike Vrabel would want to go back to the place he worked under Bill Belichick and played under Bill Belichick. That hasn't happened yet, but that was a part of the speculation, maybe lending to the idea that it was a sign of the times in Tennessee and there needed to be a change in the organization at the very least. But again, when you talk about trading for a head coach, you get draft capital back in return. So for Tennessee to say the quiet part out loud and just flat out admit they didn't have the patience to see what the offers were or that they didn't want to go through their due diligence to make a deal happen was fascinating and speaks to some of the interesting and questionable decisions this Titans organization made in terms of just letting go of Mike Vrabel. It's an uncertain offseason ahead for Tennessee. They will need to find a new head coach, and the guy that's been the staple of their offense, the King, Derrick Henry, as he spoke to the crowd in Nashville at the end of the regular season finale against Jacksonville this past Sunday, Scott, seemed as though to say goodbye to the fans in Tennessee. Has King Henry played his final game as a Tennessee Titan? More of that conversation up next with some more coaching changes or maybe lack thereof in the Windy City that we will discuss up next live right here on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Scott, uncertain offseason now ahead for the Tennessee Titans. They will have to find a new head coach after firing Mike Vrabel yesterday. And it will be a change, it seems, within the organization of one of the stars that has been there for near the longest. That is Derrick Henry. Drafted by the Titans, he has only played for Tennessee. And it seems as though, Scott, after he kind of bid farewell to the crowd in Nashville after the huge upset over Jacksonville on Sunday to snatch the AFC South championship away from the Jaguars, that Derrick Henry maybe has played his last game as a member of this Titans organization. So a lot to figure out now for Tennessee. What do you think the path is forward for the Titans?
Well, you know, you talk about openings and how attractive they may be to guys that are going to be applying for these jobs. If Derrick Henry were to leave, boy, you talk about really nothing in Tennessee. I mean, if you want to start from rock bottom, I suppose that, you know, that's the way to go. You don't have a quarterback, I don't think. And maybe that was part of the discord maybe between the management and Vrabel. Maybe Vrabel as a player realizes Will Levis stinks, you know, and we made a mistake the year before, and Tannehill is obviously done, so and maybe management says, nope, we love Will Levis. You know, we got to steal with him. He's going to be our guy. And maybe that led to the separation of the two. But if they lose Henry, you know, then, but like I said, you're starting from rock bottom with Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Scott, that's why when they drafted Tajay Spears out of Tulane in last year's 2023 NFL draft, it felt like a sign of the times. Not only somebody that could complement the bruising power that is Derrick Henry, who ran for more than 1,100 yards this year, by the way, and 12 rushing scores, certainly still has his sea legs as the king in the National Football League, but Tajay Spears maybe is that future in the backfield for the Titans. I wonder what that win total is looking like for next year. I wouldn't imagine, Scott, it's much higher than 6.5 or 7.5. The 7.5 preseason 2023 win total for the Titans, of course, they went under. So that was the news yesterday, Scott. Any closing thoughts on the Titans before we turn the page to what we learned this morning in Chicago?
Well, the Henry thing really is intriguing. You know, he's sitting at that magical age, Ben. He's 30 years old, or he'll be 30 this year. And that's we've seen it, right? Running backs, boy, just look at Dalvin Cook, and he's not even 30, 28. Well, you talk about a guy that just fell off a cliff, right? It would be interesting. He's a free agent. Are they going to give him a whole boatload? Are they going to probably – I would think they would move on. Would other teams, you know, sign him, you know, and give him a boatload contract? That'll be an interesting deal. But, yeah, that Tennessee team, but the only thing they got going for it is the division. You know, maybe I shouldn't say is bad, because I think that Houston team is going to be good for a long time. We'll figure out what Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville is really going to be. So it's not the easiest division. So little actually, it's probably a difficult division. You want to make the case that they're clearly at the bottom, right? Colts got their quarterback. Yeah. Certainly, you know, Houston's got their quarterback. You think Jacksonville has their quarterback. Tennessee is like way on the bottom now of that division.
Yeah, some defensive staff changes coming the way in Duval County. Doug Peterson making moves there. Nothing along the offensive line that was shaky at best this year and keeping Trevor Lawrence upright, who dealt with numerous injuries down the second half home stretch of this NFL season. Indianapolis has to feel confident about what they have. We'll see Anthony Richardson really take that stride into year number two, coming back from the shoulder injury that cut his rookie campaign short after only about a month. And, of course, the Houston Texans are a playoff team with a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach, CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, respectively, that we'll talk about a little bit later on in this hour. Scott, big news out of Chicago this morning. First, it was the news that we got the Bears were firing Luke Getsy, the second-year offensive coordinator of this Bears organization, and various other members of the offensive staff. And then with about 15 minutes after that, ESPN's Adam Schefter confirming that Chicago does not expect to make any changes at the head coaching position, meaning Matt Eberflus will be back for year number three, despite just a 10-24 record in his first 2 years as the head coach of Chicago. Scott, what do you make of the decision by the Chicago Bears to keep Matt Eberflus in-house?
I'm not surprised. I mean, that was been rumored for a couple of weeks that the Bears had decided they were going to keep him. So I'm not surprised. Listen, he was in a tough spot, right? He's got a quarterback that he's trying to develop. He had a defensive coordinator that flat out resigned at the start of the season. So he had to take over control, head coaching and the defensive coordinator spots. More than anything, it tells me that I think that they made the decision that they're going to keep Justin Fields, right? Because if you thought, you got to pick your poison. Who's going to take the fall? Is it going to be Fields? Okay, if it's Fields, you keep the offensive coordinator and you say it's not his fault. Fields stinks. If you get rid of the offensive coordinator, it leads me to believe they think, okay, Fields is the guy, but the offensive coordinator didn't get the best out of him, so we're going to change the offensive coordinator. I don't think you would change both. So with the number one overall pick, and I think it's number nine as well with their own, it looks like Justin Fields will be the quarterback for next season for the Chicago Bears.
So that's the next part of this conversation, right, Scott? The keeping of Matt Eberflus, retaining him as the head coach, the letting go of offensive staff members, and what exactly the future looks like for Chicago, who has more than $100 million worth of cap space, by far the most of any of the 32 NFL teams this offseason, already plenty of draft capital. What could be more if they were to trade away that number one overall pick to recruit probably two more first-rounders somehow, some way, if that is the ultimate decision, or, of course, draft their quarterback of the future, trade Justin Fields for more draft capital and then some, and have a future path for Chicago. Normally, that would be rather optimistic and would, you would think, in theory, Scott, make a potential head coaching vacancy of this storied and proud Bears organization with all that we just mentioned in terms of assets and capital on the way, one of the more attractive in this head coaching cycle. That is not going to be the case. Matt Eberflus keeps his job. Chicago did win five of its final eight regular season games in 2023. So now you try to read between the tea leaves. What is the next step for Chicago? The ultimate decision they have to make. Either keep that number one overall pick, more than likely draft Caleb Williams out of USC with it, or keep Justin Fields, trade away the number one overall pick, and make Fields the face of the franchise entering year number four, more than likely picking up his fifth-year rookie option, because if you keep Justin Fields, you're not doing it on a one-year tryout basis if you've had the number one overall selection in your back pocket. I am not too sure, Scott, that Matt Eberflus remaining the head coach for this Bears team is a clear signal that Justin Fields is going to remain the quarterback. But it is murky waters, right? And there's been a lot of conversation from Bears fans that I follow and know that you are almost presenting yourself a dire situation either which way you slice it. By keeping Matt Eberflus, if you do draft Caleb Williams, you are now tying a head coach that will still probably be under the microscope to the number one overall pick, which would put said number one overall pick in a precarious situation if he's playing for his second coaching staff in his second NFL season if the Bears were to let go of Eberflus after 2024 if the results are not there. Or you keep Justin Fields and you have Matt Eberflus, and now Justin Fields in a prove-it year number four will undergo his third offensive coaching staff in his career in Chicago, and it will be year number four. So it's kind of a weird choose your pick of poison, Scott, in a way, for this Bears organization, when otherwise it should be optimistic with all that you have in store this offseason.
Yeah, it really is a weird situation. You know, it's kind of the classic, you won the battle, but maybe you lost the war. You know, you played good down the stretch, like you said, and even the losses, they were all one-score losses. They lost a game at Detroit they should have won, and they blew that double-score lead with 4 minutes left. They lost only by three at Cleveland, and then only by eight by Green Bay, this close out the regular season. So, but had they not done that, I think Eberflus would have been out. So he didn't get fired, probably, because you played well down the stretch, but it creates this little logjam of, you're right, you bring in the new quarterback, you would think you'd have to give him 2 years, Eberflus.
Yeah.
So it's right, to work with whoever it may be, Caleb Williams, real strange.
Yeah.
I don't like Fields, though. I would get rid of him.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a large enough sample size on Justin Fields. Flashes, glimpses, is that enough to pick up his fifth-year option and make him the future of the franchise when you have the first overall pick? I'm not entirely sure. More of that off-season conversation coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. So, Scott, as we look at the offseason questions that we have around the NFL, Chicago answered one with six current head coaching vacancies after the Titans fired Mike Vrabel yesterday afternoon. We thought there might be a seventh arise in the Windy City. That is not the case. The Bears are going to retain Matt Eberflus as their head coach entering the 2024 NFL season, despite just a 10 and 24 record in his first 2 years as the head coach of the Bears. Now, Scott, I question Matt Eberflus as the head coach of the Chicago team early on in 2023. They won 5 of their final 8 games, a lackluster effort, I believed, in the regular season finale, trying to play spoiler in Lambeau against the Packers, but credit to Jordan Love and Green Bay. I'm not sure it's the right decision for the Bears moving forward, but where you do have to compliment Eberflus, who spent the 4 years before he became the head coach in the Windy City as the defensive coordinator in Indianapolis, was improving that Chicago defense that was so much better in the final half of the 2023 NFL regular season than in the opening half. And we could see that reflected in the total. Chicago went under in 6 of its final 9 games. So there is something to build off of, but of course, Scott, as we said before the commercial break, still the main decision for the Chicago team to take care of was you have your two most important spots within a football organization, the head coach and the quarterback. Who is that face of the franchise? Right now it's Justin Fields, but with the number 1 overall pick, by the time we get to late April in 2024, will it be Caleb Williams or any other quarterback Chicago deems fit for that first overall selection?
Yeah, there's a process here, right? First off, I would think the Bears got to go into these camps and, you know, the combines and everything and see if they find a quarterback that they actually like. Then they have to ask themselves how much more. I won't say can they get more. They'll get more, I would think, for the first overall pick than they would for Justin Fields. The question is, if they're waffling on it, you know, and you could get, you know, pick a number, realistically, 3 number ones for that number 1 overall pick, maybe certainly 2, right? And a bunch of twos versus if you told the open market, all right, Justin Fields is available, would you get a number 1 for Fields from a team? You might, but I don't think you'd get 2. I don't think anyone's crazy enough to give you much more than a 1 or maybe a 3, a conditional pick or something like that. So, you know, how much more can you get for that number 1? And do you find a quarterback that, boy, you really, really, really like? That it's worth it. It's kind of like what Arizona did a couple of years ago when they liked Kyler Murray. They had their quarterback in the future. Ended up being a bum. He was awful. Traded him to the Dolphins.
Josh Rosen,
Josh Rosen, UCLA quarterback. Ended up not being anything, but they had Rosen, but they said they liked Kyler Murray better, and they drafted Murray, traded Rosen, and the rest is history. So that's what kind of the Bears, I think that's the process, right? Find a quarterback that you really like in a draft, and if you do, is that enough to get the number 1 overall pick, or do you trade them knowing you can get probably at least, like I said, 2 number ones, if not 3 number ones, versus getting barely that for Fields?
Yeah. And that's a really good point, Scott. And we talked about all the assets that Chicago has this year, both in the future and in terms of $100 million plus in cap space, by far the most in the NFL. They might double up even the team that has the second most available cap space this offseason. So what does that mean? Plenty of draft picks to be had and plenty of opportunities to sign and acquire guys to help fill out a roster that still needs talent other areas outside of the quarterback position, offensive line, skill position help, still reinforcing that defensive side of the football, especially if you're going to keep Matt Eberflus as that head coach with his defensive focus on that side. So it's got 6 head coaching vacancies now available in the National Football League. 3 happened in the middle of the regular season, the Raiders, the Panthers, and the Chargers. 3 more have happened this week. The Commanders let go of Ron Rivera, the Atlanta Falcons fired Arthur Smith, and then of course yesterday afternoon, the Tennessee Titans parting ways with Mike Vrabel. Will there be a 7th? Dennis Allen remains the head man as of right now in the Big Easy in New Orleans. And Bill Belichick is still the head coach and general manager of the New England Patriots. Scott, let's start there. Just in terms of the overall logistics, do you believe Bill Belichick will be coaching the New England Patriots in 2024, or will he be elsewhere around the National Football League?
I tell you, I'm the minority in this, and I know all the signs point to him not coming back, but I just think he will. I find it hard to believe that they would basically fire him, right? I mean, he doesn't want to go on his own, so they may, you know, point it out that way, paint it that way, but ultimately you're firing him. And for all that he's done, Ben, right? I mean, and he did take the team to the playoffs 2 years ago. Let's not forget about that. I know they got embarrassed, but it's not like it's been a colossal failure ever since Brady left. I mean, but if you want to say that created a little bit of a rift between Kraft and Belichick, that he, in essence, forced Brady out, and now he's got an excuse to fire him. But, you know, as long as Bill, and it seemed like the one report yesterday said he was willing to give up some authority as far as management decisions go, as long as he's willing to do that, I don't know. I just can't see them firing him. I just can't. You know, if it's 6 years, 7 years, even maybe 5 years down the line after post Brady and it's been all failure, then okay. But boy, the guy wins 5, 6 Super Bowls, whatever it is, and great for all these years, and you're going to kick him out the door because of 2 bad years? Really? I mean, wow, that you talk about what have you done for me lately. So I'm going the other way. I think he's still going to find a way to be there.
Yeah, and Scott, that's the interesting component. I'll start first with the New England aspect and Bill Belichick before, if there is a way that he is not the head coach of the Patriots in 2024, what is next for the Pats, and then what is next for Bill Belichick as the individual. Scott, it seems as though there needs to be a change in New England. And what I mean by that is I don't believe Bill Belichick can still be the front office executive and the head coach. So letting go of those responsibilities you mentioned, I think, is first and foremost if there is a path forward for the two parties remaining in Foxborough together. It has not been good in terms of their draft process, in terms of any of the offseason acquisitions or trades the Patriots have made. It is not a talented roster. The win total was 7.5 this year. The Patriots ended with just 4 wins. Scott, in the last 2 years, when New England has been booked as an underdog, they have been abysmal. 6-14-1 against the spread. This is the worst season Bill Belichick has had as a head coach in the nearly 3 decades he has been in the NFL. First with Cleveland, now in New England. The 4 wins is the least he has ever had in a single regular season in the National Football League. The worst record for him at the helm of this Patriots organization the past 24 years in Foxborough. Some of that is Bill's fault, maybe not the coaching decisions, but the executive decisions in the front office acting as the general manager. So if he's going to remain the head coach in New England, first things first, you need to hire a GM or somebody you want to call the VP of football operations to start to lead those decisions in the front office. And Scott, we saw that a few years ago, now close to a decade ago, when Andy Reid became the head coach in Kansas City. He was a legend in Philadelphia. Always the bridesmaid, though, never the bride. Obviously did not have the 6 Super Bowl rings that Bill Belichick does as the head coach of the Patriots. But it was clear a change needed to happen in Philly. Andy Reid leaves the Eagles. He goes to Kansas City. He focuses on being just a head coach once again. And obviously we have seen the success for this Chiefs franchise since that point. That, Scott, I think, is first and foremost for Bill Belichick if there is a path forward in Foxborough.
Yeah, and really, you know, it shouldn't be that big a deal, right? I don't think they'd bring in a perfect stranger that Bill doesn't know or like or respect or anything and just say, here, go butt heads. I mean, they got to bring somebody in that he at least respects and give the okay, like, okay, I can work with this guy, right? And if that's the case, then it really shouldn't be that big a deal to give up some of the reins. It's not like you're going to have any say. You know, maybe if there's really a debate of one or two guys, the GM's going to have the ultimate say. But it's not like they would keep Belichick in the dark on some of this stuff. And he is getting up there in age a little bit. And if he wants to go really for this record, then I would think he would acquiesce to whatever it takes, right? If you want to give up the GM duties, fine, I don't need that. I got enough headaches on my plate. No problem. Go ahead and take them, as long as I have some say in the matters.
That's the crazy thing too, Scott, right? It's hard enough to be an NFL head coach, let alone to take on general manager responsibilities. And that record you are discussing, 302 wins for Bill Belichick in his 29-year career as a head coach in the NFL, 266 of those 302 coming at the helm of this Pats team. He is only behind Don Shula and Papa Bear George Halas in terms of the all-time winningest head coaches in National Football League history. So let's just say, Scott, there is not a marriage moving forward in New England. It's time for a change after nearly 2.5 decades for this Patriots team. First, let's start with the individual, Bill Belichick. Do you believe he will be coaching elsewhere in the NFL in 2024 if there is a parting of ways in Foxborough?
I do. That I do. You know, the two records, for the most wins, he also, believe it or not, is tied for the most losses. The loss against the Jets tied him with Dan Reeves and Jeff Fisher, who I wouldn't have predicted. Reeves, because he was around a long, long time, very successful head coach. But those two have the most losses, 165, along with Belichick now. So, but I do think he still has the fire. Who wants to go out this way? I mean, is there really ever a good way to go out? Probably not, right? But ultimately, yeah, I think a number of teams would come calling. Whether he's a successful GM or not, I can't help but think some of these clubs, and they're gonna tell him he's the greatest thing in the world, and we're going to open up the books for you, we're going to spend money, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I think he'll be a head coach next year somewhere.
Yeah, me as well. I wonder which of the six current head coaching vacancies would be the best spot for Bill Belichick. Now, for the New England side of things, Scott, with Mike Vrabel getting fired yesterday by Tennessee, if there is a fresh change for the Pats in Foxborough, that first call is Mike Vrabel, and I would not be surprised to see Mike Vrabel as the head coach for New England just a few days after any potential parting of ways between the Pats and Bill Belichick does become a reality and not just speculation. A little bit more on Bill Belichick on the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So, if there is a parting of ways between Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots after 24 NFL seasons together, where might Bill go? Six head coaching vacancies, Scott, around the National Football League at the time of this show. In Las Vegas, in Los Angeles for the Chargers, in Carolina for the Panthers, the Atlanta Falcons, the Washington Commanders, and now the Tennessee Titans. Scott, of those teams, who do you think would present the best opportunity, or maybe better yet, might be most eager to have a six-time Super Bowl winning head coach as their new head man?
This might be a bit of a surprise, but I think overall, look at the entire picture, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. They have an owner, that is an old-school owner. He clearly wants to win, clearly is willing to spend money to win, Arthur Blank, right? So I think that's an attractive thing for him. For Belichick, they're in a division that's not very good. He's playing in a dome, so he's getting old. And boy, that is one thing. I don't know, Ben, if you watch any of the Jets Patriots game Sunday, but boy,
yeah.
Remember Brett Favre, his last game against the Giants in that playoff game, and we all came out saying, boy, he looks like he's freezing to death, you know? That's how it was with Belichick to me. He just looked like he was freezing. He was covered up, the full mask. And I'm thinking, you know, if he's gonna go somewhere, it's gotta be warm or indoors. So he has that. Does he have the quarterback? Probably not. He has some weapons, right? He's got a great backfield. Great. Anyway, we all know he wants to run the football. He's got Pitts, and I don't know. Maybe this guy is just a bust. Who knows? 53 only receptions this year for Kyle Pitts. I don't understand that. He's got Drake London, you know, so they got some weapons. You know, they have a top 10 pick in the draft, so if they love a quarterback, you know, they might be able to move up. So I think it's the Atlanta Falcons, believe it or not.
You know, Scott, it's really interesting you mention Atlanta, because obviously Bill Belichick and what his decision is was not just the biggest speculation so far in the few days following the regular season for those 18 teams already into the offseason, but it was part of the speculation of the final few weeks of the regular season as New England had been eliminated and it was clear that something was going to have to change one way or another for the Patriots moving forward. And there were reports that the Atlanta Falcons would be a surprise candidate to emerge as a contender for Belichick's services. And I said to myself, Atlanta? That just doesn't really seem to fit in what I know of Bill Belichick and all of the other potential opportunities. Obviously, the Raiders, with the brand they are and the location they are, again, that warm weather, enticing. The Chargers, with what they have at their disposal in terms of talent on the roster. And again, Los Angeles, what a change that would be for Bill Belichick. That would make some sense to me. But for what you just laid out for the Atlanta Falcons, it would seem to make sense. And I think part of it, Scott, is also just the idea that picking picturing Bill Belichick as anything but the pissed off looking, disappointed, grumpy head coach in the freezing cold of Foxborough in December in a hoodie sweatshirt, even with a ski mask over his face, still feels very foreign at this moment. And there is that idea of, right, the Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick debate. Who was the reason the Patriots were a dynasty and won their six Super Bowls? Well, since Tom Brady left, New England hasn't been all bad in the four seasons. They have had three losing records, but this was their worst by far, 4-13. They did have a winning record in Mac Jones's rookie year back in 2021. In a playoff appearance, they got routed by the Buffalo Bills, who pitched a perfect game, 7 touchdowns on their 7 offensive possessions in that football game. But outside of that, Scott, it hasn't been all bad, but it's a chance for Bill Belichick to leave an historic and illustrious legacy behind in New England and start somewhere fresh and prove, if it's even worth proving, that he is one of the 3-5 the best NFL head coach this league has ever seen.
Yeah, and I wouldn't discount that division thing. I mean, Carolina is a long, long ways to go. Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield, really? I mean, great job what they did this year, but, you know, I don't think he's afraid of matching up with Baker and Ty Bowles. And in New Orleans, which has been a disappointment. So, I mean, I think that plays a factor for a guy who's, you know, wanting to accumulate wins here. And then you throw in that backfield, which is great. And Desmond Ridder probably is not the answer, but, you know, maybe they, like I said, with the 8th overall pick, you know, and you could bring in Josh McDaniels, you know, if you want to do that. Obviously, you can't do that if you go back to the LA or you go to the Las Vegas Raiders, right? Since he was the head coach there. Chargers owner has never shown he's willing to spend money. Justin Herbert, yes, but Eckler is a free agent. Are they going to keep him? Keenan Allen is getting older and he's always hurt. Washington would maybe be attractive, but you don't have really a quarterback there, and you're in a tough, tough division with Philadelphia and Dallas, right? So, do you really want to match that one? So, I mean, even if it's by default, and I don't really think it is, but I think that Falcon job would be attractive to him.
Yeah.
And vice versa and with Arthur Blank.
For sure. And the Falcons will, Scott, at least be in the quarterback market this offseason with talent around the quarterback position. It's one of the reasons that I thought entering this year I was not nearly as optimistic as everybody else was that the Falcons would be a contender in the NFC South, of course, with how bad the division was. Had Atlanta won in New Orleans on Sunday and Tampa would have lost, they could have won the division, albeit with a losing record. It's why I bet the under 8.5 wins for the Falcons, not having any faith in Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heinicke as the backup if it led to that. And certainly we saw a lot of Heinicke this year as well. The Falcons will have a high draft pick. It could be higher, or maybe they'll pursue the Georgia boy himself and Justin Fields to bring him back to the state that he is from. If the Bears do make it known, they are going to use that number one overall pick and part ways with Justin Fields. All right, Scott, as we go around the NFL, get ready for the postseason picture this upcoming weekend. We are 3 days out from the start of Super Wild Card Weekend, the opening round of the NFL playoffs. 2 games on Saturday, 3 games on Sunday, 1 on Monday. Scott, what is the game you are most excited for out of the potential 6 matchups that we have this weekend?
You know, believe it or not, it's the first game. I'm really intrigued with Cleveland and the Houston Texans. Will the Cinderella run of Joe Flacco continue? Will the Texans' Cinderella season continue with C.J. Stroud? I think it would be a lot of points being scored in the game, over under at 45.5. Little surprise the Browns are a road favorite, but it's only by 2.5. But I like the storylines of both. They really did the Browns no favor, Ben. I mentioned this last night in In-Game Live. You know, they're the only team that's playing on Saturday that played the week before on the road. So that's now on the road this week between them and Miami. So they're playing on a short week and they played on the road, albeit Cincinnati, but you're still flying. You're still going to a hotel. You're still doing all the processes of being a road team. And now you're playing on a short week and you have the early game, which is tough. At least Miami played at home last week. So it's a tough spot for the Browns. I think the Texans win, jumping on their bandwagon. I think the Flacco thing's been great, but I think it ends. But I am intrigued just to watch without really having a dog in the fight. That's the one, believe it or not, for me.
Yeah, I think, Scott, in the AFC, that is the most compelling matchup. Can't wait to see what the rookie quarterback and rookie head coach C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans do in this opportunity at home in Houston. Good news for the Browns, of course, they rested all of their starters. It was a virtual preseason game in Cincinnati, but still, you're right, the facilities of having to be on the road on a relatively short week, having to pack everything up and get ready to travel and all that stuff, of course, it is not as comfortable as remaining at home. The Dolphins have that same concern, Scott. And if Miami was fully healthy, that would be the game of Saturday. That might be the game of the weekend. The Chiefs in Tyreek Hill's return to Arrowhead hosting the Dolphins. But the Dolphins are so far from fully healthy, Scott. It's actually kind of sad that you get to the playoffs after such a strong year, but the final 2 weeks of the regular season, when you lost so many key and contributing pieces on that defensive side of the football, you're not at full health to realize that opportunity now in the playoffs. Of course, we knew about the edge rushers and the injuries suffered there. Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips out for the remainder of this year. We know that Raheem Mostert and Jalen Waddle missed the week 18 regular season finale against Buffalo, I think in part to hopefully knowing that Miami had already clinched a playoff berth. If they did not win the division, they would have an opportunity at least to be healthy for that opening round of the playoffs. But it's got even further attrition on the defensive side of the football for Vic Fangio and his Miami Dolphins defense. Both Jerome Baker and Andrew Van Ginkel, key members of that linebacking core for Miami, will not play on Saturday night in Arrowhead. It was a 3.5-point spread at open, now make it 4. It's not necessarily Miami conditions on Saturday in KC Mo. Wind chills that will be in the double-digit negative degrees in terms of that real feel temperature. It's just such a tough spot for the Dolphins, Scott. So shorthanded entering this matchup against the Chiefs.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm a Dolphins fan. I'm surprised the line is only 4, Ben. And then I'm surprised the over-under jumped up a half to 44.5. I mean, I guess they're assuming that the Dolphins defense is so bad that Kansas City's offense will finally come to life and play well. But they only had 35 points when they played over in Europe 24-14 in great conditions. Yeah. So how are they getting 45 in those conditions? I mean, with Tua being from Hawaii and all the stats that we're coming up with now, he's 0-4 and 1-10. And 0-50 and everything else in cold weather, I could really see this being like a 30-7 game. I you know, we're not talking about snow and 30 degrees. That's not really that bad. That's what they had last year in Buffalo. We're talking about frigid temperatures. You know, we're in the teens below zero they're talking about. I just don't see how Tua's going to be able to throw the football. If you're Kansas City, you got a great defense to begin with. You don't have to worry about any of those wide receivers, even Tyreek Hill, when it's that cold, because Tua's not going to be throwing the ball 15, 20 yards down the field. He just hasn't done that much now, but believe it or not. Yeah. So I think this has got disaster. I really do. I would do, out of all the games to do an adjusted line, I could see this one being a 3-score game more than any of the others.
Yeah, and Scott, you know, one of the funny things about this matchup, right, is Kansas City's offense has been stagnant this year. The Chiefs' offense has not mirrored what it has done the last 5 NFL seasons, of course, that 2 of them have resulted in a Super Bowl championship. They have hosted the AFC championship game all 5 years. But the defense, even when the offense was struggling, was leading the way, and the defense will be called on here to slow down Miami's best unit with a banged-up defense on the other side. It's why I've already bet the under at 44.5. I think the early look ahead line in a potential hypothetical matchup 3-6 based on what happened in the week 18 regular season finale in Miami between the Dolphins and the Bills had this total at 46.5-47. So it has altered from that point, taking into account the defensive injuries Miami suffered to end out the regular year. I still don't know, in the environment, in the cold, wind is a very difficult thing that affects the offense. Rain is one thing that you can get used to, but negative 15 degree wind chill, which is what is estimated for Saturday night in Kansas City, it's nothing you can prepare for. It's nothing you can get ready until you get out there and play in that game. I don't think it's going to be that high scoring between the Chiefs and the Dolphins. The other game, of course, in the AFC comes your way early on Sunday, the first game up of the triple header early relative. It's the first game up, 1 p.m. Eastern time kick in Western New York. And Scott, we got official word yesterday that TJ Watt, Pittsburgh's best defensive player, maybe best player overall on the team, will not be available for Sunday in Buffalo due to the MCL sprain he suffered in the regular season finale against the Ravens. That a huge blow for a Pittsburgh team that was already a huge underdog, even fully healthy defensively.
Yeah, and what a weird injury, right? It was kind of like backing into his own teammate. I mean, it wasn't like he was hit, slammed, you know, or making a tackle. I mean, just the weirdest. It's amazing these guys can crush each other, get up, and be like no big deal. Then they can accidentally touch the wrong toe, and it ends up being a major injury. I still like the Steelers. I think the Steelers not only can cover, Ben, I think the Steelers can win the game. That's how I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. We're going to have to dive into that on the other side of the break because I think Pittsburgh can cover as well. We'll talk about why from the odds perspective, but I got to hear Scott Wetzel's take while the Steelers can win outright. We'll do it next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
All right, Scott, you said it right before the break. A 10-point spread in favor of Buffalo in the first game of three on Sunday. The Bills, the 2 seed in the AFC, host the 7 seed, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who will be without T.J. Watt for the matchup up in Western New York. Scott, you said not only do you think Pittsburgh can cover the spread, they might be able to provide a scare and pull off an outright upset. Why do you like the Steelers keeping this game closer than the odds makers expect?
I think they win because of Josh Allen, believe it or not. And 9 times out of 10, you say that in a positive light. I'm done with Josh Allen. He makes so many stupid decisions that it's going to come back to haunt them. You know, he has 18 interceptions, Ben. He's got 5 more fumbles, 23 turnovers. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are the perfect recipe for a success for Pittsburgh as they're number 4 in the NFL with 27 takeaways. He's going to turn the ball over. Mason Rudolph. Off 3 straight victories. I don't know what it is with Mike Tomlin and Mason Rudolph. There's got to be something behind the scenes because even in his press conference yesterday when he was announcing Rudolph was going to get the start, it was kind of like they're reluctant, like, yeah, we're going to continue. We might as well. I mean, like, Mitch Trubisky was awful. This guy has been 3-0, and it's almost like a reluctancy of like, yeah, I guess we're going to have to go with Mason Rudolph. So anyway, that said, I think Josh Allen is going to screw up. He had no business winning that game against Miami because of his screw-ups. I don't think they can get away with that against the Pittsburgh Steelers Tomlin-led team. Give me Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting, Scott. When you look at Buffalo this year, covering big numbers, they have not done a very good job of that. They have been booked as a touchdown favorite or more 8 different times this year. The Bills are just 2-6 against the spread, including 2 outright losses. We'll see what happens on Sunday. It's super wild card weekend for a reason. He is Scott Wetzel. So I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle, live right here on Sports Grid Radio. But we'll be back tomorrow starting at noon Eastern time right here on FFC. We'll continue to preview Wild Card Weekend. See you tomorrow, noon Eastern time here on Sports Grid Radio.